This tape is dedicated by Shmuel and Esther Engelson in memory of Rabbi Zev David and Ethel Engelson, who are longtime members of the Israel of Rugby, and also in memory of Rabbi Yitzchok and Gittel Dick. Dick was the first person to record Torah on a military wire recorder. Ruchim Haboyim, welcome everyone. We are about to begin the Be'ezras Hashem, number E-130. Oleinu B'Shabeach. It is upon us to praise. It is our duty to praise Hashem. Oseis Gedula L'Yosef Bereshish. To attribute greatness to their creator in the beginning. That's our business in life. Shalom Asanu Kego Yeho Arat. He did not make it like the nations of the lands whose purpose is to keep the world in order, to cultivate the land, to build, and so on. Now, our function in this world is to speak about Hashem. We came into this world to utilize the opportunities which the world offers for this purpose. How many opportunities are there? Millions. Every natural object in the world demonstrates the greatness of its creator. Now that explains a certain phenomenon that otherwise would be puzzling. Why is everything so complicated? When you study any process of the functions of the body or of plant life, everything is extremely complicated. Plants within plants. How many plans? Millions of plans in each item. Every apple seed has millions of bits of information stored up on this DNA helix. And every one of them is necessary, because if one was missing, this chain would be broken and the apple seed would not produce anything. So the question arises, why is everything so complicated? And the answer is because everything in the world has a purpose beyond what we see. Of course, an apple seed is important to make apples. The most important purpose of the apple and the apple seed is to make us aware of the greatness of the Creator. And when you look at the complexity of the process of reproduction in plant life, in animal life, at the process of ingesting food, all the processes of life are so tremendously complicated that they show a design. You can't have millions of different pieces of information that fit in together exactly with each other, and each one is essential. Can't have that unless by the greatest possible design. And the greatest possible designer is one of me. Now, don't be frightened away when you hear of the complexity that is supposed to stimulate your mind. The truth is, even simple phenomena in this world should also serve as testimonies to the Creator. Everything in the world speaks about the one who made it. The rain cycle. Why is it there? Not an accident. Rain comes down. What doesn't come up? Force of gravity. Where does it come from? comes from the ocean. It runs downhill to the ocean finally. But the ocean is full of mud and salt and chemicals. That water is no good anymore. No. The sun shines on the ocean and changes it to water vapor. And water vapor is a process of distillation. It distills. It leaves over all the impurities in the sea, and pure water vapor rises up in the sky. Now, why does water vapor go up? If rain falls down, why does water vapor go up? And it just has to go up to the clouds. So the bird made it lightweight. Water vapor is lightweight, whereas rain is heavyweight. So water vapor is lighter than air. Lighter than air. It goes into the air, comes clouds. But clouds over the sea wouldn't help us. If the rain on the sea wouldn't help us. So they're winds. Winds are belt conveyors that blow the clouds over the continents. So now the clouds are ready to do a good job. But still it's only clouds. So then there comes other winds bearing cold air that condenses the water vapor into rain, and it falls down, doesn't fall up. And that's a rain cycle. Now, there are no genes connected with it. You can't say it's a result of development. This plan is a simple plan, easy to see. By the way, you need the sun. It's only 93 million miles away. You need the sun to help out. You need the winds. You need the force of gravity. You need the fact that rain is heavier than air and water vapor is lighter than air. You need all these facts. Not too complicated. You see, there's a plan here. And everything in the world is for that purpose. Yuduchu Hashem kol ma'aseho. All your works praise you. Kod malchuso yomeru. Everything speaks. Now you say, that's the case. Then all the scientists should be the biggest ma'aminim. And the answer is, the scientists are the biggest fools. They're educated fools. All science today is concentrated on concealing the truth. You take a medical book or biology, any book, you find phrases like this. It's fantastic, he said, how this thing works. It's stunning, it's amazing. And nevertheless, they don't recognize that there's some purpose. Who made it fantastic? Who made it amazing? If it's not so simple, it's complicated. And it's functioning perfectly. So who made it? The answer is, they're all united in one big effort to deny the great fact of facts. So we, our purpose in life is to recognize the Bailey. But the purpose of the enemies, saying they are Hashem, the scientists, is to deny. Of course you can be a firm scientist, and then you're going to gain more and more knowledge about Hashem. But the fact is that all the colleges today are the most depraved places in the world. You won't find any place as rotten, as depraved as the colleges. A Jewish boy wanted to go to Yale, but he didn't want a dorm, because in Yale, the dormitory is a terrible place. Men and women, unmarried, live together. Men and men live together. Chas v'sholem, to say the words. So the Jewish boy wanted to live outside. So Yale said, no, unless you come into our base like he said, you can't get a diploma. You have to be full of the odor of the place here. So when you come in Yale, and the dormitory, and through, you're saturated with the foul miasma of Yale, then you're ready to get a diploma which says, this certified that so-and-so has been ruined, has lost his mind. I don't think it's very serious. And therefore, we are chosen for that purpose, like it says in Yeshaya Hanavi, Amazo Yotzartili Tehilosi Yisaperu. This nation I created for me, that they should speak my praises. Hashem doesn't need us. Doesn't need us to speak his praises. We need it. And I created them for the privilege that they should gain an awareness of the truth of me. Now, why did he give us this privilege? Oh, that's a problem. That's a big question. And the answer is, he gave it to us because we were the ones who started that subject, Avraham Avinu. The Rambam in Hilchos Avedas Kechavim describes when Avraham was a boy, a youth, he began to look around and see plan and purpose all around him. And he began wondering, who made that plan and purpose? Even a pencil. Find a pencil in a desert. Not the result of winds blowing for a million years. A piece of lead got out of the ground, and wood from some tree got around it. After a million years of blowing, it came to a lead pencil with a yellow color around it. Very simple thing, a lead pencil. But it testifies to somebody who made it. What is a lead pencil compared to an apple seed? Nothing. Lead pencil doesn't have any plans inside of it. An apple seed has millions of plans inside of it. Now, since HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a man like Avraham, who was like anybody else at first, he didn't make him that he was an exceptional person. He made himself exceptional. And Avraham began to recognize what was the plan of the world. He saw everywhere demonstrations of a creator. And Avraham came to the conclusion that the world was made to teach us this great principle. Intentionally, Hashem made the world in order to make us wake up and recognize that there's a Borei. And that's why he made things so complicated and simple, to show that such intricate, complex plan and purpose of stunning ingenuity, infinite design, can only be by means of an infinite designer. And the purpose is to teach us that. However, in case you're not up to this, not interested in that, could be, you should know you still have a career that's open to all the Jewish people. And that's a career of recognizing the kindliness, the benevolence of creation. Let's say, if by accident, chas v'sholem, you tear your pants, no matter how long you wait, it's not going to grow back again. That tear will remain forever and ever, unless you go to a tailor and repair it, put in a patch. But if you make a scratch in your skin, then in a course of a short time, it mends itself. Now, a scratch in the skin, to mend itself, is extremely complicated. You have to reroute tiny blood vessels. You have to rebuild cells, and every cell, you should know, is more complicated than the most expensive computer machine. Every cell is actually a complexity of factories. To describe a cell needs books, and cells have to be rebuilt. When finally the skin is healed again, it's a task like making a new skyscraper building after the old one has collapsed. When one scratch on your skin is healed, it's not less than rebuilding a skyscraper with all the elevators and all the plumbing. Now, when I say skyscraper, I'm really belittling the skin, because the skin is much more complicated than the skyscraper. Ever thought of the skyscraper? What do you have there? You have floors, you have flooring, you have ceilings, you have rooms, you have bathrooms, you have heat, you have running water, you have telephones, maybe you have refrigerators too. There are many things there. You have elevators going up and down, telephone. Terribly complicated. All that is nothing but more than a pebble compared to the complexity in one apple seed, in one cell of an apple seed. Now, what should you do in case you didn't learn any science and you want to fulfill your function of Oleinu L'Shabeha praising Hashem? Oh, there's plenty of work left, plenty of work left. On all sides, we are surrounded by Chasdei Hashem. When you put food into your mouth, it's a miracle what's going to happen to that food. You have to swallow it. I know a person, a good man, who can't swallow. The old man, he can't swallow now. Oh, great rachmanis on him. The ability to swallow is a great chesed. And once you swallow it, what happens to it? You forget about it. No, it works. When you swallow the food, it begins a voyage, a journey full of miracles. I want to take up the time now. Food turns into hair. It turns into eyes. It turns into blood and skin. You know, you don't stand still. Every person, every living thing is in constant motion. You're changing every second. The old cells are being worn out. Materials are being expelled from your body, and you're changing with new materials constantly. You're not the same person today that you were last week. The externality looks the same. The tzura is the same. But the materials are constantly changing. And that's because life requires change. And as you are ingesting food and drink, it's giving you new materials to take the place of the old ones that are worn out and expelled to the body. Now, I won't spend any time on this anymore, but that's a very important purpose of our lives, to recognize the Bore from the Bria. Well, Avraham Avinu did it, so our Kodesh Bore said, that's the case, I'm going to give you a gift that your children will have this privilege of praising me from observing my handiwork in the nature, in the world, and they recognize me. Well, before we proceed, we should study what the Chavis Al-Babis has to say in Shah Cheshben HaNefesh. Now, in Cheshben HaNefesh, the Chavis Al-Babis gives us 30 subjects about which to think. Doesn't mean cheshbon, how many sins we did, how many mitzvahs we did. No, here it means something else. Cheshbon means machshava. It's the duty of a Jew to be a thinker. That's a new idea, isn't it? A Jew must be a thinker. And he has to take certain ideas and spend time meditating in those ideas. He gives 30 examples. Only examples, there are more than 30. Now we'll take the last of the 30, Amashlim Ashlesh, the 30th. Cheshben Ha'odom Yemen Avshoi, Vitnoi Ageres Be'olam Hazeh. How a man should think with himself of the conditions of his being a sojourner, a temporary sojourner in this world.
means a pussy. The land should not be sold forever. Somebody sells the land, the buyer cannot use it forever. At the end of Yovel, he has to return it to the previous owner. Ki liyo oves is my land. Ki gerim etoishovim atemim, you're strangers and sojourners with me. And it says, until him gero no chibaret, I'm a stranger in this world. Now, what is he telling us? The subject that he proposes for us to think about is that we are visitors in this world. We hope it'll be a long visit, 120 years. But there's no question it'll come to an end. We're visitors here. We are strangers here. Even though you have blocks and blocks of real estate, there comes a time it's no longer yours. You're only a visitor. And what's the purpose of this visit? So he explains, suppose a man came to a foreign country, and he knows no one except the king of that country. Only one he knows is the king of the country. So therefore, it's his business, in order to maintain himself in that country, to maintain contact with the king. There's nobody in the country that knows him. That means us. We're all alone in this world. Your wife, your parents, your children, your brothers, very important, but you're all alone. You and our Kodesh Baruch Hu are here in this world alone. That's how we should train our minds to think. Doesn't mean you ignore your fellow man. No. Despite all your duties to your fellow man, you should work on the realization that no one is able to help you or to harm you, Cholila. Only the king, the ruler of the world. And with him is all your contact. And you sit home surrounded by your family, you should think you're all alone, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the sole friend you have in this world. Of course, your wife and your children are very good friends. Your parents and your brothers are good friends. But you should think that only a scenario that Hashem put up to make it look that they are friends. Actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the sole one that you're acquainted with. You don't know nobody else in this world. Now that's a subject on which to work. Now, what is the way to live in such a situation? That person is thinking about the king. The king is giving him his daily sustenance. Whenever he eats, it's from the king's table. He has no rights except what the king allows him to have in this world. Now there, what is this man doing all the time? He's always saying to the king, thank you. Thank you. Always thanking the king. That's number one requirement for a person who is a stranger in this world. And he only knows the ruler of the world. Which means you have to spend your life thanking the king for everything that he gives you. You have to thank him for your clothing. For every article of your clothing, you have to thank him. And you have to take time. You have to thank him for your shirts, your underwear. You have to thank him for your belt, for your hat, for your coat, for your trousers, for your dress, for your shoes, for your stocking. You have to thank him for each one separately. He's the one who's giving it to you. Now that's not necessary to be a scientist, but that's a function of every Jew. He has to spend time recognizing that everything that he has comes only from one source. When he sleeps, sleep is a miracle. Hashem gives sleep to animals too. It's a miracle. And that miracle is a gift. You know, some people can't sleep anymore, Chalilah. An old man told me, he lost his sleep. Pity on him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us sleep. You have to be grateful. You thank Hashem for sleep. Yes, every night. Amabil Hevle Shein Aleino. You thank him every night. Maybe you say it and don't think what you're saying. You're thanking Hashem for giving you the gift of sleep. Sleep is more important than food. Now that job of concentrating on every detail of life and recognizing that it comes from the King. Now you say, well, my wife is the one who made everything comfortable for me. She has the house clean, gives me always freshly laundered clothing to put on. She goes shopping for me. The sheikh checks the chickens for me. The grocer supplies me with all the things we need to eat. It's true, you have to be grateful to them. You have to thank the baker for baking for you. But you have to know it's only a cholam. The true gratitude is only to the King. Now, everybody knows that. All Orthodox Jews are busy all day long saying thank you, of course. Not all understand what they're saying, but we have to realize that's our function in this world. We came in this world to talk to the King and express our gratitude. That's our purpose. You know, there's a Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes. The longest chapter in Tehillim, at the end of Kuf Yud Tes, David HaMelech says, Techi nafshi, let my soul live, let me live, let me live. Why? Usahal aleko, and it should praise you. Please Hashem, let me live longer to praise you. Why should you say that? Of course when you live you praise Hashem. But if you won't say, you won't say that, Hashem. What are you worried about? No. It's a success. It's a big achievement to praise Hashem. And that's why we want to live. The longer we live, the more we'll praise Hashem. And that's our happiness. That's our greatness to praise Hashem. And the more you do it, the greater you are. Now that's what you say every day if you get up in time to come to the shul for Psukei Dezimra. You say, "V'hishtabeach v'sehilos secha." We make ourselves praised by praising you. V'hishtabeach, we praise ourselves, v'sehilos secha, by praising you. The more you praise Hashem, the more you become praiseworthy. The greater you become. So let's say you come out of the bathroom. Maybe that's constipation for some time, and finally it works. You will leave. Get a load off your mind. As you come out, what do you say, Ayos Asher Yosa? Express your great gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What a relief, what a happiness. That's our function of life. We're created with that purpose. Amazu, your child, TV, I made it with that purpose. To hear loss and your suffering, you should speak my praise. And now we begin to understand how important it is to be happy in this life. And a person is happy, he appreciates what he has, that person is capable of giving thanks. When people are unaware of their good fortune, they're not happy. They think happiness means something that they don't have. It's someplace else you have to go. There you'll be happy. You have to have more money or live in a different place. You have to know all these things are pitu ha-yesa. The yesa is trying to persuade you to forget your purpose of life. You know, a man once told me, his father said, "Ad mit gesund ist man reich." If you're well, you're a rich man. What does that mean? You should say it 1,000 times in all your life. if you're well, you're wealthy. I know a very wealthy man who cannot urinate. There's no kidneys anymore. If he can walk into the bathroom, like any ordinary person, and perform, he'd be delirious with happiness. No. Too late. There's no kidneys. I knew a man who was not able to use his rectum anymore. He had a hole in the side. He had a colostomy. Only through his side could he get rid of his waste. And you remember the good old days when he could use his rectum. Oh, the happiness it was then. It's only when people lose that, then they begin to look back and see opportunities that they had to thank Hashem. That's what life is. Life is opportunity to appreciate the great Chasdei Hashem. Now you and Hashem are alone in the world and nobody is helping you to do these things except Hashem alone. You and he and you. And that's our purpose. What we were created. Tehi nafshi, let my soul live, usala can praise you. And therefore, now we come to the subject that you wouldn't think is a result of this. A result of this is the subject is you have to learn how to be a happy Jew. You must learn that. It's a science. And the science is composed of knowing many things. First of all, you have to be happy you're alive. Get accustomed when you pass by a funeral parlor and think how good it is to be on the outside. Inside that customer is lying down. For a funeral home, people think they serve lunch there inside. They don't serve any lunch to the mason. There's a cemetery. Border of Hashem, I'm on the outside. The happiness of being alive is tremendous. Want to enjoy being alive. Practice it. Think about it. Ashir Hashem bechayai. I'll sing to Hashem in my lifetime, I mean, because of my life, I'll sing to Hashem. That's only the beginning, but it's a big subject. Anybody who says is not a oyved Hashem, no question about it. Now, you go on from one subject to another, Baruch Ato Hashem, Choynein Hadoras. How many people are thinking what they're saying? You're thanking Hashem for being sane. They think it means Davdas, Chokhmah. Very good. But ultimately, the fundamental gratitude is for being sane. Baruch Ato Hashem Choynein Hadoras. Sanity is a tremendous blessing. In order to be sane, thousands of cells have to work in proper cooperation. So many details are necessary to be sane. And therefore, when a person is reaching, let's say, the ages of 60 or 70, especially every day, he should say, Choneinu mi'itcho, Hashem, keep me sane. The pity to become senile and to waste the latter part of your life. If you're sane and old, then you can utilize your life to the very best. Talmidei Chachamim, Kol Zman Shehem Mizdaknim, Chachamim Mitoseif Bohem. The older you get, if you're a learner, Talmid Chacham, you get more wisdom. Unfortunately, I know one big Talmid Chacham who at the late 80s, he became senile and was sitting all day long just moping. Oh, a pity. Years passed by before he died. Lost years. So pray to Hashem. Choneinu mi'itcho. Please, Hashem. Ato choneinu lo'adam da'as. It's not natural. It's a gift. Not my own creation. You're the one who gives me sanity. I'm asking, I'm begging you, keep me sane. Ever think about that? And thank Hashem for sanity. It's a happiness to be sane. I once walked in a sane asylum to visit the sick yeshiva bacha. 300 lunatics were there inside. And they laughed at me. I had a beard. Those days there were no beards. They laughed at me. So I was somewhat fixed. But then I thought, you know, Meshugoyim? Now, when you start such a career, you're going to be happy that you have eyes. Oh, eyes. Can we say how great is the glory of seeing? You see life, you see movement, you see color. Oh, you see your family, you can see. You see the world. What a happiness it is. And so many people are not able to see. Tap, 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 tap. Come to a street corner, they have to stop. Someone has to take him by the arm and lead him across. Oh, what a tragedy. A sumo, a blind man is like a mess, like a dead man. Of course, a blind man is still happy that he's alive, but a pity. And you have to think, Baruch HaTor Hashem Kokeach Ivrim. You said it this morning? You think what you were saying? Now, after you utilize this and that and this and that, there are more things you have to spend time, you have to spend time on it. You have to take out time. While you're eating, you can do this homework. When you're on the bus, you can do this homework. Plenty of time is needed for these things. After a while, you're happy with so many things that you actually are a happy man. That's happiness. You can't become happy just so one thing will happen to you. Let's say you're happy if you won the sweepstakes, $100,000. You're happy. How long will it last? It won't last long. First of all, the tax people will come to you to be and people come for donations and all those charities. But anyway, you'll get tired of it after a while. I won't even think anymore about it. But last long. No happiness lasts long. But this happiness, when you're built up of many details, is a happiness that will last all your life. And not only all your life, it'll last you into Olam Haba. And that brings us to the great subject. What is Olam Haba consisting of? What's the connection between our career and this world? Or recognizing the Chazdei Hashem, what he did for us, and singing and praising him and thanking him? What's the connection with Olam Haba? That's the next. Now everybody knows that a Jew has to be a shomer mitzvah. You have to fulfill all the mitzvahs. No question about it. Every single mitzvah and every single minhag of the klal Yisrael, you have to be mekayem to be a Jew. Can't fool around with that. No exceptions. And yet, when a person does it in a certain way, then it's not a success in life. It says, Korev Hashem, the whole Korev, the whole Hashem Yiklohu be Emes. You have to speak to Hashem with Emes. And the mere fact that you did things where the Emes was lacking is a pity. And the Emes of serving Hashem and Olam Hazeh is based on the attitude of being grateful to him, of being happy. Simchu tzadikim b'Hashem. Rejoice in Hashem. Behodu l'zecha kodshem. And praise him when you think about his holiness that he did for you. Now, this career will end up in happiness in this world, no question about it. It'll give you a longer life, better health, you'll really enjoy everything in this world. Learn to enjoy a piece of bread. Learn to enjoy a glass of water. Oh, what a happiness to drink a glass of water. Learn to enjoy your begotten. Learn to enjoy breathing the air. A happiness to breathe air. Ever practice happiness of being here? Ah. You're pulling oxygen into your blood. The happiness of being able to think, able to hear. One of the chief obstacles to this career of studying the kindness of Hashem and becoming a happy person who sings all his life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in gratitude, one of the main obstacles is the thought that he will do it someday. He's postponing. Someday he intends to do it. Very many people realize that this is the function. Tov v'hodes l'Hashem. What's good in this world? To thank Hashem. Even when you're a mitzvah, the purpose of the mitzvah is to thank Hashem. You're putting on tefillin on your head because you have a head. Don't have a head, you're part of tefillin. You make a mitzvah nachim in the others only when you eat bread. Not eating bread, you make a mitzvah. I told the story of the boy who said to his father, "Father, I have to say birkas hamazon every day?" I said, "No, only when you eat." So most people who are serious intend to do this someday. They heard this, they will do that someday. But now the problem comes up, when is that someday? So he tells us, you should know that you're only a visitor here. You don't have a permanent lease on Olam Hazeh. And that's why he tells us, when Yovel comes, you know, Yovel means moving, like Yuval, a stream moves. Everything starts moving on Yovel. People bought houses, bought lands, and they give it back. All the fields that you bought go back to the previous owner. Nobody should consider himself permanent. Now, even though it's yours, the Yerusha, you should know you're also only here for a short while. Now, this is the process that Hashem has made for the Am Yisrael. In order, we shouldn't become spoiled by being always in Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided it's better for us to move around in the world and know that we are strangers in this world. Did that finish? You think it's an accident we're in Golis? Of course we're in Golis. We have to utilize the Golis to do tshuva. But I called this book beforehand. And that was the plan. And the plan was that we should move around and never be settled. You'll never rest among those nations. You won't have any place to let your foot rest there. You'll be always moving. Even in America, you're moving. The blacks move in, you move out. Unless you have a good, strong community that you decide to remain. And therefore, our college brotherhood intended to let us know only visitors here. We can't afford to postpone. Al toma kishe ipone eshen. And I'll become a man of leisure, then I'll do what I have to do, like learning Torah. Shemalo tipone, I might never become a man of leisure. Now, just as you have to learn whenever you have a chance that those postpone, also have to learn to thank Hashem and not to postpone. Especially, it doesn't take up too much time. Learning needs time. Gemara needs time. But to learn how to thank Hashem, a little bit of spare time while you're eating, while you're sometimes taking a walk, or riding in your car or the bus, thinking about Hashem's benefits to you, and you can become great and fulfill it and become a happy person. And you'll be singing to Hashem all your life. Now, when we understand this very fundamental teaching that our greatness is the ability to understand what Hashem is doing for us. That's our achievement in this world. Now, we learn a meaning when it states, this world is like a vestibule before the world to come. What are you in a vestibule? In a vestibule, you prepare yourself to come into the house. Come into the lobby, you get ready to come into the dining hall. Haskein atzmahole praiser, prepare yourself in the vestibule, kideshit tikonis mitrakvin, in order to enter into the banquet hall. Now, he tells us the preparation for Olam Haba is while we're in this world. And what's the preparation? You heard it already. That's the preparation. Of course you have to learn Torah. Of course you have to do mitzvahs. But you must not forget that element of learning how to thank Hashem always and for everything. Then it says, what is Olam Haba? So the Gemara says, Tzadikim Yoishvim, the Atrei Seyem V'Roshem, Tzadikim sit in Olam Haba with their crowns on their heads, then their hand in the Ziva Shchina, and they enjoy the splendor of the Shchina. What does that mean? They enjoy the splendor of the Shchina. And why crowns on their heads? What's that got to do with it? So the Rambam said, the crown on the head, that's the das, the understanding that they acquired when they were alive in this world. All we begin to see now, to enjoy the happiness of gazing at the splendor of the Shechina, you must first gain the awareness of the greatness of Hashem that you can gain in this life. And that becomes a crown that makes you capable of appreciating what you see in the world to come. If you didn't learn to be happy in this world, then you will not be happy in the world to come. Well, you say, why not? I did mitzvahs. I learned Torah. So I called this boy who said, you should know of all the things I'm requiring to you, I also am demanding toiv lahoidais. You must know that what's good in this world is to be grateful to Hashem, to learn to thank Him. Were you grateful for being able to walk? Because how many people couldn't walk? All your life you walked. You mean to say that you never thanked Hashem for being able to walk? So you live for nothing. So you say, Hashem, please let me come back to this world again for a few minutes. I'll walk. No, you can't come back anymore. Too late. So while you're walking, think of the bracha. He establishes a person's footsteps. It's a feat. It's a ability to learn to walk. And we're able to do it. Most people don't fall down as they walk. They balance themselves all their lives. The miracle, the ability to balance yourself. I explained to you many times. You have in your ears a certain balancing organ. When you move a little bit to one side, you're worn straighten up. It's a miracle. Did you thank Hashem for the ability to walk? Think how happy the people in the wheelchairs would be if they could get up and walk now. Now when a person follows this regimen of learning to appreciate every detail of life, this man is going to have Olam Hazeh, Ashrecha b'Olam Hazeh, and his Toiloch b'Olam Habo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him great happiness in the world to come. When you learn to appreciate this world, you're capable of understanding the happiness of the world to come. Now, that's a very big subject. I'm going to come back to it soon if I have time. First, I want to answer some of the questions. the son was in great pain. And can you think about being with Simcha? His mind is so preoccupied. Now pay attention. The purpose of pain is to make you aware how lucky you were before you had the pain. And even though you missed the opportunity of thanking Hashem, but you can do it retroactively. Now that you're in pain, oh, you say, I thank you so much for those years when I didn't have any pain. And did they ever? It helps too. It's retroactive and it's accepted. When a person is about to pass away, is he ready to die? He thinks, life is so sweet. So I called his voice and said, now you're looking back and recognizing it. Why don't you say that all your life? Life is sweet! At least with ever, on your last moment, when you're facing the extinction of your life, and then you recognize that life was sweet, it's also something. Of course, if you pass a funeral, Ahwanu Islam, the person who's being carried in the box is not so happy as to leave this world, but we should be happy. I'll explain something to you. It may sound crude, but I'll tell you a truthful attitude. When you have to go, Rahman al-Islam, to Menachem Mohol, when you walk out of the house, when you finish the mitzvah, the first thing to think is, how lucky I am to be alive. Never thought about that? When you walk out of the base of Ovel, you say, I'm okay. Now you walk out, you're on the steps, breathe the air, fresh air, say, Baruch Hashem, I'm still alive. Never thought about that? Think about that. That's the purpose. If you're ever sad and dejected, go by a cemetery and think, if they can walk out like you walk on the sidewalk now without a pen in your pocket, without a nickel in your pocket, they'd be delirious with happiness. So therefore, although the person in great pain is not in the mood of having simcha right now, but he's certainly going to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, I am grateful for all those years that you gave me freedom from pain. By the way, if a person is in pain, you should know pain comes from one source. But suppose Cholili has pain from two sources, it's worse. So you should think, at least the pain comes only from one source. Other places don't hurt. I thank Hashem for that. If the person has pain, then he has a toothache. In his pain, he goes to the dentist anyhow. What's he doing with the toothache? When he gets rid of the toothache, he's grateful. One pain less. So even a person in pain can be happy. He doesn't have more pain than one. But everybody should utilize a time of misfortune, Cholila, to look back and thank Hashem when there's no misfortune. A person not supposed to be proud of his strength, intelligence, wealth, or any other of his advantages. What should we be proud of? Let me explain. The person learned Torah, he has a right to be proud of his Torah, no question about it. He did mitzvahs, he has a right to be proud of his mitzvah. Every Jew has a right to be proud that is a Jew. No question about it. You're proud that you put on tefillin, you're proud that you eat kashar, you're proud that you keep Shabbos, you're proud that you keep all the mitzvahs and all the Jewish men hogging. Certainly you have a right to be proud. You can be proud over others who have the same thing. They do the same thing as you. However, what is the most important element which justifies pride? With this, a person has a right to be proud. He has enough wisdom to know me, Hashem said. What that means needs explanation, but in general it means a person who is aware of the kindness of Hashem and the greatness of Hashem and the power of it. The more you're aware of Hashem and His kindness and His power and His wisdom, then that is a greatness of which you have a right to be proud. Yes. Ki mizos yishalel hamishalel haskel yodo eisinu mashim. Only he adds, ki be'elo chofasti. I desire that you should do the same thing. So the Rambam learns the Mega Nevuchim, it means knowing the ways of Hashem and emulating His ways. But the truth is, if you don't emulate His ways, knowing, recognizing the ways of Hashem is a tremendous advantage in life. And that's why when we study the subject of Chasdei Hashem upon us, I'm talking about mitzvahs, of course. If you don't do mitzvahs, then forget about it. A person that does all the mitzvahs, a regular observant Torah Jew, and in addition, he spends time appreciating the greatness of Hashem, the wisdom of Hashem, that He does for him. Every day He gives him a home, a roof over his head, a bed to sleep in, He gives him meat, food, He gives him the ability to walk, the ability to function as a normal person with his bowels, with his kidneys, his heart, everything is working more or less well, then that person learns to thank Hashem. That's what he has a right to be proud of, and that's an achievement for which we came to this world. How does one place the idea of Hashem in front of him at all times? And the answer is what you just heard. If you train yourself when you get up in the morning, you say, Morde Ani Lefonech, I thank you. Not everybody gets up in the morning. And you train yourself. It becomes habitual to think of Hashem at that time. If you train yourself when you see people who are cripples in the street, it is Gentile, let's say, swinging on crutches, only has one leg, and you think, Baruch Hashem, didn't happen to me. That person is reminding himself of Hashem. All around us, people are having trouble. And Baruch Hashem, you're not having that trouble. You should always think, Baruch Hashem. Of course you can say it to it. But you see a solar ambulance pass by, you should stop and say it to it. That Jew in the Hatzol ambulance have a word, Shlomo Sosho Chere Yisrael. Well, you can say, I thank you, Hashem, I'm not inside. That's your purpose in life. And don't think it's a commonplace idea. It has to be practiced. If you do that, you place Hashem in front of your mind at all times. Question: is anything wrong to attend a men's college program for the sake of Parnassah? When it's something like I said, I would suggest you talk to your rabbis who know you, and they'll give you advice. It's a good question. How did Kol Yisrael hear Moshe in the Midbar without a microphone? And the answer is, they didn't. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he had to speak, he had people who repeated Amaroyim, standing around and repeated his words to others. That was the system in all generations. What should a person think and do when he is depressed that he cannot learn Gemara as well as his classmates? There's no reason why anybody should not be successful in Gemara. It's only because he didn't study properly. To succeed, you must first learn to say a piece of Gemara by yourself. Say two lines by yourself, and to translate every word, even if you don't know Pshat. Get in the practice of saying Gemara and translating words by yourself. Not merely hearing it said. Say it yourself. Then, after you have a practice of saying a whole Omer Gemara, the words and translate them. Now, get somebody to teach you the meaning of each line. And after a little while, you know a blood Gemara. You know, one blood Gemara well, it's possible for you to succeed. If you don't know one blood Gemara well, then you'll blunder all your life. You have to start out on the right foot. So the first blot, spend time in until you're able to read it and translate it well. Don't be in a hurry to go on to the next. And then when you can translate it well, get somebody to explain the meaning clearly to you until you can explain it in your own words. And even though you don't know all the perushim, as long as you're able to explain it to your satisfaction, then that's already a beginning of learning. And always keep on thinking, what did the Gemara say? Don't deceive yourself. Try to understand it in your own mind. So then you have a blot Gemara down pat, that you know the whole blot with your own mind, then you're ready to go ahead and succeed. And nobody can be a failure if he does it in that method. I will take some questions from the floor. How did a person know he's a Ben Olam Haba? And the answer is, he can never know. And that's because Okoiv HaLeiv Mikoil, the mind, the heart, is more twisted than anything else in the world. Mi Yedu, and who can know it? And especially the person himself cannot know himself. And he cannot see his own faults. And therefore, everybody should think he has to constantly search in himself. Now, that's something that's not being done. But it's important to know that it's possible to be totally deceived in yourself. So you keep on trying to do the best you can and think about yourself. A good idea would be to have somebody, a mochiach, you can find some honest man who will tell you what he thinks you need to know about yourself. It'll be a big help. But most people wouldn't do that. If somebody criticizes you, then you'll run away and never look at him again. But if you can find a mochiach who's willing to do it and you're willing to listen, there's no question. It's a very great thing. But he could never know you perfectly, but still, it's a derech. The derech hayim to chachas musa, the way of life, is for somebody to criticize you and instruct you what to do.
What should we be thinking about when we hear about another possible war in Iraq?
What should we think about when we hear about a war in Iraq that might take place? Holila. Some are waiting for it. And we should say that our Kodesh Baruch Hu Kihula Vadei Baal Milchomes Hashem is the one who makes wars, and therefore it's up to him to decide whether it's a good thing or not. We are not big enough to make the decision. Some say once a war starts, Chalila, they'll start shooting in Eretz Yisrael. Some say it's a good thing, maybe you can knock down Saddam. Whatever it is, we don't know clearly. That's why I say, Ki hu levadai poel Yeshuas. He himself is a Baal Milchomis. We ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu that things should turn out in the right way. That's the only way to do.
Is it presumptuous of us to try and make a deal with our Kodesh Baruch Hu and find the stars like David HaMelech recommends and share them with the mice with David? We just pray.
Is it wrong to make a deal with our Kodesh Baruch Hu? By the way, I don't recall there's any deal made at that time. David said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow me to live, I should praise you. But that's not a deal, but that's the principle of life. We're in this world to praise Hashem. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is happy when people understand that. And therefore they deserve to live if they're going to practice that principle. That kind of a deal is not really a deal. It's stating one of the fundamental principles of the creation. Hashem made for people to praise him, and therefore, when he hears that people are willing to do it, then they deserve to continue to live. Or why is tefillah called Chayeshua? Tefillah, you should know, it's called Glory Moen Liberume Shel Olam, one of the highest things in the world. So how can you call it such a small name as Chayeshua, temporary life? And the answer is, when we ask for something that we need, it's a worldly need. Olam Hazeh need. Unless you're asking for Hasloche Ruchnis, that's not Chayeshua. Ask Hashem, Shetargelene B'Seira Secho, V'Davkene B'Mitzvah Seira, that's not Chayeshua. No. It's Chayeshua. When a person asks for help, it's called Chayeshua. However, it depends on the Kavan. When a person asking for help, like David, who said, Chaynashe, let my soul live, Utsalaleko, but not Chayeshua. Only when people are asking to live, and that's all. Of course, if I wanted to ask him for that, and he's willing to grant them their request, still, that's Chayeshua. The person says, please help me, of course, this boy, I have good business today. Chayeshua. However, the person says, I want good business, and in order I should be able to pay Shalima to my children in the yeshiva. Oh, God, if I say that's not Chayeshua. And therefore, it's Borom Eimdu Verum Yisholeva. Now, Tefillah is a matter of thinking. The word Hispalel, to make yourself think, Pilalti, to think. Tefillah is thought. And Tefillah is therefore the practice of thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's real Tefillah. With Hispalel, to make yourself think. Now, if a person is capable of utilizing tefillah properly, then it's Dvorim Eimdim Berum Yisholeva. Together with Torah. And Torah, of course, is more important than tefillah, because Torah is the teachings which we exercise when we use tefillah. Without Torah, tefillah doesn't practice properly. When a person has no Torah, and he prays according to the ideals of Torah, that the Torah teaches him that we're in this world to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Torah. And he prays in order HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant him his request to make him feel more clearly that Hashem is in charge of everything. I prayed and Hashem answered me. Then that kind of a tefillah is from Eimdim Berum Yisholeva. Now everybody can change his tefillah into their greatest form of service. He will take the bakoshes that he asks for Gashmi is and apply it for the purpose of serving Hashem. So let's say you're taking a medicine. Before the medicine, say Yerosimil Ponecho She'eisek Zedli L'Refua. This medicine should be to me a refua. Now that's Chayeshua. Want to heal something. But suppose you say, I want this medicine to heal me, so I should be able to thank you all my life, Hashem. That's not Chayeshua anymore. So you can transform all of your tefillahs in Dvorim Eimdim Berum Yisholeva. If a person exerts himself to accomplish more in life, will his life be used up more rapidly? Absolutely not. Just opposite. The more the person justifies his life by utilizing Oleinu Lishabeach, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, that's the case. I want to hear more of that. Tzechi Navshi, Utsal Olech, he'll live longer in order to continue that career. Now, back to our subject again. I know people have heard this many times, and yet it's so important that it cannot be overemphasized, the necessity to recognize the kindliness of the Bore in the thousands of things that he's doing for us. And you have to spend time appreciating it. And that is one of the most important ways of preparing yourself in this world to enter the tzraklin of Olam Haba. People come to the next world and their experience in seeing the Chesed Hashem, their eyes are open, they have seichel, they have a crown on their head, the Das Shekonu, on their lifetime, these people are going to enjoy their stay in Olam Haba much more than the Pshutim and Hedyetim only did mitzvah. Now mitzvah is a wonderful thing. To keep the Torah is a wonderful thing. Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelek L'Olam Haba. There's happiness in the world to come. But one thing is in the world to come besides happiness, and that's envy. To be jealous. Kol Echad Nichle Michu Pasei Shel Chaverei. When everyone sees what other people have, he's going to be sorry he didn't do that while he was alive. That's one thing that is an Olam Haba. Otherwise, everybody will be rewarded. A woman who has, let's say, 10 children is going to envy the woman who has 11 children. 11 children, one more child, a tremendous achievement. Well, sometimes you couldn't have more than 10. Whatever it is, however, the one who has more has achieved more. A tremendous accomplishment. One amazif nefesh achaz Yisrael to a hoisif eremolei. Tremendous thing to bring up a family of children. Now, sometimes the one who had 10 brought him up better than one who had 11. That's also taken into consideration. Quality is also something. However, in the next world, all the Frum Jews are going to be happy. All the Shemra Mitzvahs will be rewarded forever and ever and ever. Some might have to make a little visit to the laundry in between, the detergents, the acids, take out the stains, but sooner or later, since he's a Frum Jew, he'll come to Olam Haba. And all of them will have happiness. But there's going to be a big difference between those that are closer to Hashem and those that are more distant. Yes. They won't all be seated in the same distance. Some will be closer to this thing. Some will be Melchizosei Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you have to know that they'll be full of charotes, to be sorry. Oh, so sorry. Now, how can you be sorry and be happy? Yes, they'll be happy. And so they'll be sorry. And that's why, as long as we're in this world, we have opportunity to utilize our lives to thank Hashem for everything. Thank you for your fingers. Thank you for your hands. Thank you for your feet. Never thought about that. Don't think about it right now. Thank you for your teeth. Thank you for your lips. For your ears. For your nose. I know a fine man. He has no nose. He has a plastic nose. Never. Pity. Have a good fleshy nose. Enjoy it. What a pleasure it is. I don't laugh. Outside will laugh at me. You're talking about a nose. Absolutely. Don't have to enjoy your nose. And therefore, this is a fundamental accomplishment. And even though you heard it 100 times already, if you come here regularly, you should know you never heard it enough. You have to hear it for 40 years. Ad aboim shenim lo koim inish adaita de rabbe. Until 40 years of study, the person doesn't really understand what he once heard. And therefore, as much as you'll review it, it'll never be sufficient. Because you didn't study it 40 years yet. But when Nosan Hashem Lachem Lev Lo Das, because Naim Nishmoya V'Naim Liris Ad HaYoim HaZeh, at the end of 40 years, Meshach Rabbeinu is a good Rebbe. And he's talking all the time. And he said, you didn't understand anything until right now, at the end of 40 years. Oh, that's a lesson. 40 years of instruction from Moshe Rabbeinu were necessary in order to gain the full understanding. And therefore, any time you put in is essential. It's important and valuable. You need it. And don't think it's a waste of time thanking Hashem for the fact that you have clothing, that you have a hat. Thank Hashem for all these things constantly. He tells Yisrael, be seen photo. He crowns Yisrael with a hat, a black hat especially. Sign of importance. You identify with the Torah community. And all the good things that you're enjoying. Thank Hashem for it. And you should know, that's how you prepare for your great career in the world to come. Now, when we study this subject, we begin to understand why our Kodesh Baruch Hu in Golis is moving us around. Because we've been settled in a country for a long time, we would forget the fact that we're visitors here. We become hidebound by habit. But now that we know that in this world we're moving around all the time, from Babel to Spain, from Spain to Germany, from Germany to Poland, from Poland to maybe to Russia, and then to America, Alice Israel, we're moving around all the time. And so let us know that we're all visitors in this world. We're temporary sojourners, and therefore our purpose is to keep our minds on a function in life, never to get lost, never to forget. And what's the function? Oleinu v'shabeya. Our purpose is to praise Hashem and to thank Him. And therefore, our Kodesh Baruch Hu is trying to wake us up, moving us around. We shouldn't fall asleep by being always in one place. And that moving around has been a big advantage. It certainly kept us on the track of serving Hashem. Otherwise, people fall asleep and go lost, and their lives are wasted. One more question from the floor, and then we adjourn.
Why does a person have 2 ears, 2 arms, 2 legs, and meaning there, the organs, the external organs?
Why do you have 2 arms? In case Chas Shalom has only 1 arm, you should be able to do something. You have 2 kidneys, you can live with 1 kidney. The other one is a spare. And in case 1 kidney doesn't function, stops the liver functioning, you continue to live. 1 kidney is enough. The fact that there's so many things in the body that are duplicated is one of the miracles of the Bria. I call it, well, made it in such a way that we should be able to live more successfully in case one of them fails to function. By the way, since you brought up the idea of kidneys, you should know the kidney is a miracle. It's a laboratory of the body. The kidney creates chemicals. The kidney does so many functions. If you drink too much, the kidney siphons off the unnecessary liquid. The kidney controls also many of the general functions of the body. And therefore, when you think of your kidney, you have to think of something that's mamish, unequaled in all the inventions of humanity. It's such a complicated and wonderful instrument. And then we thank Hashem for our kidneys. We can thank Hashem. Imagine a person thanking Hashem for kidneys. Don't see them. Don't think about them. You better think about them. When a person has only 1 kidney, oh, he thinks, oh, how lucky I was when he had 2 kidneys. Here's a man who has no kidneys to live with. And he's trying to add a kidney. He advertises. Anybody wants to give me a kidney? I'll give him $1 million. But most kidneys are not the same. They'll be rejected by him. And finally, he does find somebody by the same kind of kidney that will fit into his body. That person is unwilling to sell it to the wise man. And therefore, looks back on the good old days when he had a kidney, or 2 kidneys. He said to Hashem, Now I realize I was remiss in my duty of thanking you when I had it. And so, let's all thank Hashem that we have two kidneys right now. Thank you, Hashem, we have two kidneys. I see. Well, there's so much to talk about in thanking you, Hashem. We have to sit here, not all night, but to sit here for years and years right here and enumerate all the things Hashem is doing for us. But because we have to go home now, so we're going to stop and we'll say, Rabbi, thank you for coming. And you should be my shliach in this function of learning how to be happy and singing to Hashem all your lives. And this, Mahon Aran, and I'll call your Meinu.